I'd rather have a song sung with passion than a song sung perfectly any day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. I'm just glad I didn't have to sing with him, or I'd be up here crying myself too. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord's good. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Take your Bibles this morning. Go with me, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter 31. The book of Psalms, chapter 31. I feel a sermon coming on this morning. Amen. Psalm chapter 31. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that is really a subject that I've tried my best to apply to my heart and my life. And it is a subject that I call guided by God. Guided by God. And I want to preach on this thought this morning of being guided by God. Psalm chapter 31, and let's begin with verse number 1. Follow along this morning, please, as I read. The Bible says here, and David is speaking here of his confidence in God. And he says here, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my God, my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now look over at chapter 32 and verse 8. Notice what this verse says. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now go over to chapter 37. Chapter 37. And notice verse 23. Notice what the Bible says here, 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Guided by God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word this morning. And Lord, thank you so much today that, God, you've been good to us, that, Lord, your presence is with us. You said where two or three are gathered, there am I. There am I in the midst. We claim that promise this morning. And Lord, I pray that you take the word of God and just pour it into our hearts and our minds. And Lord, help us to open our heart and our mind to you, Lord, as thy word is given this morning. Thank you so much for this wonderful principle and for the principle of even giving it. Lord, I'm unworthy, but Lord, I thank you for the privilege today of being open up to your guidance in this message this morning. So bless it, we pray, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I love to hear stories in the Bible, especially ones where God has guided them through something. You remember in the children of Israel, I'm getting my words mixed up this morning. That's bad. Amen. You remember the children of Israel when they left Egypt and let them go? You know, they were so thrilled to leave Egypt and so ecstatic. They walked out, they left Egypt, they're praising God, but they didn't know where to go. They didn't know what to do. They needed Moses to guide them, didn't they? And God had to guide Moses. And when God guided Moses, he led the children of Israel out and he led them to the Red Sea. And what happened at the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army closed in on them. And they had the sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other. Have you ever felt like that in life? Have you ever felt like you got the sea on one side and Pharaoh's army on the other side? We do feel that way sometimes. But God had not quit guiding them. He then opened up the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land, and Pharaoh's army crossed over, and it closed in on all of them. God had taken that away. But you know what? Once they got to the other side of the Red Sea, they still had no idea where to go. So God led them. He guided them. He led them to the waters of Meribah. And you remember, he guided them to the mountain. And there, Moses struck that rock and water gushed forth. And the children of Israel were taken care of. But once they got there, they still didn't know where to go. They had to cross over into some hostile territory. And they crossed over because God was going to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey. They went across, but because of sin, they wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. But eventually, after Moses died, Joshua, the leader, the new leader, led them across the Jordan River. They went on to dry ground. They went and finally found where God wanted them. Can I tell you this? That all happened only for one reason, is because they were guided by God. They were guided by God. Can I tell you, if they'd have gotten out there and not had Moses to lead them, they would not have known where to go. They would have died in the desert. They would not have gone God's way, and they certainly wouldn't have gone to the Red Sea. But God was guiding them. God was guiding them through it the whole time. They would not have gone and done so many things. And you know, it's guidance, God guiding us in life, that's important. I like the story of Gideon. How many of you have ever read the story of Gideon in the Bible? The children of Israel were closed in by the Midianites, and they had a powerful army. And they were always harassing the children of Israel. And God said, "All right, Gideon, I got a job for you." He was sitting under an oak tree one day. He said, "I got a job for you. I want you to lead the children of Israel, and we're going to do battle against the Midianites." And you know, if you read the passage of Scripture, you'll see that there was some fear involved in Gideon, because the Midianites were powerful. And he had got this army together, 32,000. This wasn't enough. It was not enough to defeat the Midianites. But, you know, God said, "You know what? I think you have too many." Can you imagine Gideon looking up to God? "God, too many? Did I hear right, God? You said I had too many?" He said, "Yeah, too many. Tell all those that are of a fearful heart, tell them to go home." And guess what? 22,000 of the 32,000 left went home. He was stuck with 10,000. I can just see him pacing back and forth. "Oh no, now what are we going to do? We lost most of our army now. We only got 10,000 men. God, how are we going to do this?" God said, "Don't you worry, I'll guide you." And God looked down, he said, "You know what? You still have too many." "What? What are you talking about, God? Too many? No, I don't have too many. I don't have enough." He said, "Here's what I want you to do is, go down by the river, and everyone that drinks water laps it up like a dog but keeps their eyes open. I want you to keep them. Send the rest of them home." He got down to 300. Now, wait a minute. If God wasn't God, he couldn't have won that battle with 300. See, it's not in the matter of how strong we are. The matter is, how is God guiding us and leading us in life? Gideon stepped up with faith in God and just 300 men. And they blew the trumpet and they broke the pitchers. "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon be upon thee." And all the Midianites woke up in a dither and started slaying each other. They all killed themselves. Now, can I tell you what? I love that story because it represents how someone allowed God just to guide them and to lead them. And I want to tell you something in life. We have forgotten this principle of God guide me. God, lead me today. And I'm talking to Christians here today. I'm not necessarily talking to the lost person, because where God wants to lead the lost person is to be saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, you never met Christ as your Savior or accepted Him as your Savior, God is leading you to salvation. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to say to you, if you're lost today, God is leading you to be saved. God's leading you. He's guiding you. He's trying to guide your heart and your mind to understanding that you need to be saved. But I want to tell you something, Christian. Once you get saved, it doesn't stop the necessity of God guiding and leading you. And I want you to notice some things about God's guidance and how God leads us. And I want you to see some things in this passage. Now go to Psalm chapter 31. And I want you to notice again verse 3. Notice what David said. He said in verse 3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." That was David's prayer. There is a prayer to ask God to guide you. I believe every Christian ought to get up every morning in their time with God, say, "God, guide me today. Lead me. Put me in your path. God, lead me how you want me to go. I need to be led by you. I have a mind of which I can do things, but your ways are higher than mine. God, you guide me. You direct me." That famous passage in Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "Lord, lead me to green pastures." God is the one, if we will allow Him to lead us and guide us on a daily basis, if we allow it, and by the way, we have a choice every day on who we're going to guide us. Either you're going to guide you or God's going to guide you. And if you're wise enough to understand His ways are higher than our ways, and you will allow God to guide you that day, you'll be surprised what will happen. And you'll be surprised what God will do. Dr. Jack Howells was on his way to catch a plane one time, and he was preaching somewhere. And it seemed like every delay, everything he did on the way of getting in a car and getting on his way to through traffic in Chicago. If you've never been in traffic in Chicago, I mean, it's just, it's horrible. It's horrible. He said, everything I did to try to get to that plane, there was delay, delay, delay. Finally, I got to my terminal and I watched the plane take off. He said, "Oh no, I missed it. I missed my plane. I'm not gonna be able to preach tonight. I had a scheduled meeting. Everybody's going to be there and they're going to be disappointed." Come to find out, that very plane that he was on took off of that runway. And one state later, it nosedived into a field in Arkansas and everyone on it was killed. And you know, he came to this conclusion, this understanding that God can guide His people. And God can direct His people into His path. But we have to let God be the guide in our life. I want to ask you, are you letting God guide your life? Or do you have your hands on the reins and the controls? Are you the owner of your life? Are you the one that's running the ship? Or have you wisely understood that we need to designate our lives to God and let God control our lives? Years ago, I think back when God sent me to Moore Baptist Temple, 15 years ago, I came here just knowing one thing: God guided me here. Came here the first Sunday. Nobody showed up for Sunday school. That's why I'm so glad to see you this morning. Amen. Nobody showed up for Sunday. My kids were all young down here on the front row, so I just decided to preach to them because they needed it. Amen? But nobody showed up that day. But I said, Lord, you guided me here. You put me here. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know all of what you want from me, but dear God, I'm yours. Guide me, Lord. Please lead me. I need your way. Your ways are higher than mine. If I get my plan in priority in my life, I'm going to mess the whole thing up. I need you to guide me, God. That is the prayer that David is saying in this passage. Notice he's saying, he's praying, God, lead me. And it comes from this desire of understanding that God has better ways and God can see down the road. You know, we can only see so far. We can only see so far. God sees down the road. God knows the path that we need to take. I heard a story about John Wesley. And that old preacher back in the 1800s, he was driving along and his carriage hit a rut and it got stuck in the mud. And he couldn't get it out. He was on his way to preach and to preach a service. And his carriage was stuck in. He couldn't push it out of the mud. It was stuck. All I can say is, thank God for automobiles. Amen. But he couldn't get it out. He was pushing that way. Somebody came along and said, can I help you? He got back behind that wagon and he pushed John Wesley out. And John Wesley began to talk to the man and to thank him for helping him pull him out. And he found out that that man had a burden. He found out that that man had a great stressful need. And somebody had just given him a supply of a need that met exactly the amount that that man needed. And John Wesley got back on his carriage and he said to those in the carriage, he said, now I know why God allowed us to get stuck in the mud. It's because he had a purpose for us to help that man who needed help. Now, can I tell you something? There's a whole lot of difference in life between being stuck in the mud doing your own will and being stuck in the mud by being allowed and guided by God. You see, when you allow God to guide you and lead you and show you the way, and let me say, he'll never contradict his word. He'll never go against his word. A dear lady came up to me one time and years ago out in the parking lot, right out here, and she said, God told me to divorce my husband. I said, that goes against scripture. That goes against God's way. God didn't tell you to do that. Sometimes people mix up what God tells them to do with what they desire to do. Yeah. Amen. But I want to tell you, when your heart is really genuine with God, and it's really real, you go to God knowing that if I follow my way, I'm going to mess this thing up. But if I follow your will, and I yield to your will, somehow, even when I get stuck in the mud, God had a reason and a purpose for it. You see, the person who's not guided by God, when they get stuck in the mud, it turns to defeat, discouragement, depression, negativity, and they live in that world. They live in that realm. But when you, as a Christian, allow God to guide you and say, Lord, your plan is my plan. Whatever you want, God, guide me. And that's what David was saying. And if you read the context of the passage, you understand that he had enemies all about him. Everybody was shooting at David. And he felt the pressure of it. And he felt the need to not trust in himself. And he felt this importance of saying, God, I got to grab onto you. I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. I need to hold on to you. Oh, listen, when you do that, hear me, Christian. Hear me, Christian. When you get stuck in the mud, it doesn't become a defeat. It doesn't turn to depression. It turns into this idea that God let me get there Because he has a purpose in mind. Now, can I tell you? That's how you live with real joy in your life. Let me tell you, if you're a Christian and God's guiding you, there are no bad roads. There are no negative trails. This past week, Taylor and I were on our motorcycles. Can I tell you? We had a good time in Colorado. Amen. And I had to show him how to ride. But after I showed him how to ride, after I showed him how to ride a few things, we got going. Can I tell you, we were coming back on a route. We had our route planned, you know, on our phone. We had the route, you know, we followed the route. And something happened, and we took the wrong route. And we didn't know it. It was like 40 miles down the road. We didn't know it. And we're on our motorcycles. I'm telling you what, we went through the most beautiful canyon with twisting turns and high mountain peaks. It was beautiful. And we got to the end, a little town called Lyons, Colorado. We got to the end of that. I said, man, that was awesome. And he said, Dad, we took the wrong road. We went down. Let me tell you something. I'm glad I went that wrong road, or at least the road that I thought was wrong, but it was the most beautiful road we rode on that day. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when you allow God to guide you, it may not be that there are wrong roads. It may be roads that God puts you on in purpose for another reason and another plan and another purpose. And as Christians, we have to yield to his plan, because you tell me, who knows best? God or you? Who knows best? You say, preacher, have you always enjoyed getting stuck in ditches? No. I don't enjoy that. But let me tell you something. When you get stuck in life, a negative situation arises. A hindrance to you arises in life. A negativity, a problem, a trouble. When that comes to you in life and you are genuinely asking God to lead you and guide you in life, this awareness of life changes. This awareness becomes, this life's not about me. This life's about God using me somehow and some way. And when you get stuck in life, you better remember something. God has a purpose for you to be stuck. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because God wants to guide us and direct us. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible? You remember what he was doing in Acts chapter 8? He was sitting up in his chariot and he was reading the Bible, didn't he? Yeah. But he didn't understand it. He was reading the passage of scripture of Isaiah the prophet, and it was the passage of scripture that referred to Jesus and how Jesus would suffer and die for the sins of man. But he didn't understand. But God came along and used one of his men, Philip. And Philip came up. He shouldn't have been there. He was in a different place. He was heading to a different place. But Philip saw that Ethiopian eunuch. He went up into the chair, the chariot. Amen. He got up in that chariot and he said, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And what did he say? How can I except someone guide me? And we are just like that eunuch. We are reading and going through life and we're seeing God, but we really don't understand everything. We need God to jump up in that chariot with us. Say, how can I understand except you guide me, God? I need you to lead me. I'll fail at this thing. How many people are there in this world that take God by the tail and drag him through their life? Not me. I want to hang on to God and let him do the leading.
Many Christians are like this. They're dragging God. Now, God, this is my plan, and I'm going to take you with me in my plan. And God's feet are dragging, saying, that's not a good plan. And may I tell you what? Living the Christian life in that mode is nothing but frustration. Right. It's frustration. But when you live the Christian life, like David did, said, Lord, I got enemies all around me. I got to have you guiding me. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. I've got to trust in you. Oh, hear me, Christian, today. Hear me. Pray to God to ask him to guide you and lead you every day. When you're hurting, then you know God is the answer. When you are defeated, you'll then know God is still your answer. When troubles arise and things confuse your mind and you're asking God to guide you every day, hear me, Christian, the confusion becomes sifted out when you understand God's in control of this. And God, you lead me. You lead me. I don't need to drag you along, God. And oh, how many Christians are failing and faltering. And there's a lot of Christians that are giving up on God. You know why? Because they got their plan of how they want to take God in life. Instead of saying, God, I'm with you in your plan. So I ask you today, are you praying this simple prayer? Are you praying this prayer? Look over at chapter 32 and verse 8. Notice what God said in response to his prayer. Psalm 32, verse 8. God responds. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Look at this. I will guide thee with mine eye. You see what happens when you ask God to really guide you? And I'm talking genuine. I'm talking a genuine heart. It doesn't do good to pray an ungenuine prayer. Something you don't really mean. But when you really go to God and you say, God, I need your guidance. God takes David. God said, I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. Well, the best school you could ever be is under the guidance of the Lord Jesus. I'll teach you. I'll instruct you. You just grab onto me. You just hang on to me. I'll guide you with mine own eye. Boy, he did. You know, all the enemies of David had, one by one, they got defeated. They were put down because God was in charge of the thing. God was in control. God was doing it. And hear me today. David died a king 40 years. And by the end of his reign, there was peace. And the land, and he died in his bed because he allowed God to guide him. He allowed God to instruct him. Can I tell you that problem in your life that God has allowed into your life is not to depress you. It's not to discourage you or defeat you. It's to see him guide you through it. Because when you see God guiding you through it, you then begin to understand how great God is. God, you did this. You took care of it. Lord, it's done. It happened. I can't explain it. Don't you love things that God does that you can't explain? And the difference is that God guides you and I if we'll pray and ask him to guide us. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this weary land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. That's the guidance of God. Are you being guided by God? Do you want to be guided by God? Is your will so strong that somehow you cannot relinquish it to the hand of the Almighty?
Oh, I say to you today, so many Christians live in that mode, and they live with this idea, God, this is what I want out of life, and God, you better approve of it. Let me tell you something. There's no greater recipe for a Christian's difficulty and frustration. The peace of God rules in a Christian's heart when they say, Lord, I'm yours. If your word says it, I'm going to follow it. Because, Lord, I need your guidance. And somehow, some way, God takes care of things in his will, in his way, in his time. And the Christian can live in peace through the troubles and the turmoils. Oh, I say to you today, we need God to guide us. Without God guiding us, there is no peace. There is no victory. There is no help. I heard a story about a giraffe. When a giraffe is born, the first things that emerge are the baby giraffe's front hooves and head. A few minutes later, the little newborn calf is hurled forth, falls 10 feet, landing on its back. Within seconds, he rolls to an upright position with his legs tucked under his body. And from this position, he considers the world for the first time and shakes off the last vestiges of the birthing fluid from his eyes and his ears. The mother giraffe lowers her head long enough to take a quick look, and then she positions herself directly over the calf. She waits for about a minute, and then she does the most unreasonable thing. She swings her long, pendulous leg outward and kicks her baby so that it is sent sprawling head over heels. When it doesn't give up, the violent process is repeated over and over again. The struggle to rise is very difficult for the giraffe. And as that baby calf grows tired, the mother licks it again to stimulate the effort. And finally, that calf stands for the first time on its wobbly legs. And then the mother giraffe does the most remarkable thing. She kicks off its feet again and sends it hurling. Why? She wants it to remember how it got up. In the world, baby giraffes must be able to get up quickly as possible in order to stay with the herd, where there are safety, lions, hyenas, leopards, and wild dogs all enjoy dining on young giraffes. And they get to if the mother doesn't teach the calf to get up quickly. I thought about the birth of giraffe many times, and you see, in our own lives, if we're being led by God, sometimes God kicks us. Sometimes God puts us on our back. But all the while, when we're guided by Him, He takes us wherever we are and whatever place He finds us and is giving us help to keep right on getting back up. Keep getting back up. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes God hurts us in order to make us stronger. And sometimes that's the guidance of God in life. I don't always like it, and I don't always understand it. But somehow it worketh in us a far more an exceeding weight of glory. It works in us when we say, God, would you guide me? God, lead me. God, I'm not perfect. I'm not much. But God, if you'll guide me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Lead me and guide me. Oh, Christian, I admonish you today, if you're trying to run it in your own power, give it to God today. If you don't see the value of an almighty God guiding you in your life, if you cannot relinquish to the voice of Him who made you and created you, then that really is the essence of all failure in life. But the essence of real success and real blessings in life is when you open up to God's will, God's way, and say, God, I just want to be guided and led by you. You'll find joy. You'll find the peace that God had intended for your life. Are you being guided by God? Lost man, God's trying to guide you to be saved. There's that resistance inside of every one of us to get saved because we think we got it all together, but we don't. We need the saving grace of God to lead us to salvation. Trust Christ today. Don't let it don't wait any longer. Don't wait another hour. You don't know what could happen. You don't know what this week will bring. Trust Christ today. Let him guide you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.